In 1802, Charles Wilson Peale installed a series of stoves in his Philadelphia Museum, once located on the second floor of the Pennsylvania State House, now known as Independence Hall. Peale described the stoves in a letter to his sons Rembrandt and Rubens. Calling them smoke eaters, Peale explained that these stoves drew smoke back down into the fire to undergo combustion a second time, expelling clean air and exciting, quote, much wonder as the doors are open and no smoke comes into the room, end quote. According to Peale's letter, the first stove at the west end of the museum's long main room was in the shape of an altar, on which he installed a mirror, quote, making it emblematical of truth, end quote. An additional stove at the opposite end of the same room was shaped like a classical column, painted white and plastered to resemble marble, and topped with a classical bust of Cicero, which Peale hoped to replace eventually with a portrait of the great Swedish natural scientist Carl Linnaeus. Peale had difficulty choosing an appropriate bust for his third smoke eater in the adjoining quadruped room, since he was reluctant to move the figure of truth from its current location. Ultimately, Peale preferred to display a personification of nature, but worried that the allegorical figure's uncovered breasts would, quote, afford occasion to excite indelicate remarks of the inconsiderate, and nothing must have a place in this museum which could call up a blush, end quote. By designing the stoves with decorative portrait busts and mirrors that reflected the visage and figure of the observing visitor, Peale invited the public to view his smoke eaters in bodily terms while reinforcing codes of social propriety. The columnar smoke eater, seen here in the only surviving pictorial representation of the stoves, suggests the corporeal presence of these inventions. With its columnar form and internal circulatory system, topped by a sculptural head, the design evokes a human body and its appearance and structure. Indeed, it recalls contemporary anatomical illustrations, such as this image from William Cruikshank's The Anatomy of Absorbing Vessels of the Human Body, a book that had been donated to the American Philosophical Society in Philadelphia only a few years earlier. My presentation today examines this corporeal analogy in Peale's smoke eater designs as a figure or trope of far-reaching significance for understanding his vision of public reform and environmental health in Philadelphia circa 1800. Although the Peale family and their many artistic and cultural achievements have received much scholarly inquiry in the past few decades, Charles Wilson Peale's interest in fuel economy and fireplace design has been largely ignored. Peale spent a considerable amount of time and creative energy on this endeavor during the late 18th and early 19th centuries. Besides installing working prototypes within the Philadelphia Museum, Charles Wilson and his son Raphael submitted miniature models for the American Philosophical Society's consideration. As I will demonstrate, Charles Wilson's fireplace models did not simply exemplify the ideas of social reform and education associated with the Philadelphia Museum and his artistic oeuvre. In designing his miniature models and functioning smoke eaters, Peale repeatedly invoked metaphors of the human body, both visually and verbally. Like the columnar smoke eater, the miniature model recalls the body in its composition. The two round, adjustable vents suggest rotating eyes, and the hearth brings to mind a mouth, animated by the sliding metal fire screen that opens and shuts. Peale also alluded to the human body in the descriptions of his designs, referring to arms, tongues of sliding mantle, breastwork, marble cheeks, and the throat of the chimney. Even the term smoke eater invites comparison with bodily processes. By utilizing these corporeal terms, Peale encoded the healthy, efficient operation of the body with social and environmental significance. In the body of Raphael Peale, Still Life and Selfhood, Alexander Nemiroff explored the role of embodiment in still life paintings by Charles Wilson's son as an example of fraught romantic selfhood. But the use of corporeal metaphor in art and design was hardly unique to Raphael, for it served a variety of imaginative functions in post-revolutionary America, as United States citizens navigated a multitude of issues in engineering, anatomy, medicine, and urban planning through visual expression. I propose that, for Charles Wilson Peale, a stove efficiently inhaling oxygen and expelling or consuming noxious smoke mirrored mechanisms of a properly functioning human body. Since Peale and his contemporaries closely associated chimney smoke with miasmic diseases like yellow fever and consumption of the lungs, the elimination of fireplace exhaust was seen as an important step toward improved bodily well-being and environmental reform. In addition to modeling the reduction of smoke and conservation of heat, Peale's fireplace designs used the human body itself as a technological and aesthetic paradigm for preserving public health. This conflation of body and machine reframes the artistic imagination of Charles Wilson Peale as he contemplated the natural economy and shifting urban environment of early national Philadelphia. 18th century Philadelphia was in a state of flux after the American Revolution. In 1790, the city became the temporary capital of the United States while Washington, D.C. was under construction. This national status brought important government officials and federal business to the growing city, which had only recently recovered economically from the war and its trade disruptions. At the same time, Philadelphia experienced an environmental crisis. As American cities grew in the post-revolutionary era, the seemingly endless forests of the new nation in turn receded, impacting the supply of firewood to urban centers. Despite their emblematic celebration in the background of pictures such as Benjamin West's Penn Treaty with the Indians, which is here at PAFA, the bountiful sylvan resources of Pennsylvania were no exception to this phenomenon of rapid deforestation. Already in 1744, Benjamin Franklin wrote, quote, "Wood, our common fuel, which within these 100 years might be had at every man's door, must now be fetched near 100 miles to some towns, and make a very considerable article in the expense of families," end quote. From 1754 to 1800, the price of firewood in Philadelphia nearly tripled as wood became scarcer and demand escalated. In May of 1796, the American Philosophical Society, promoting its mission to expand upon useful knowledge in the young United States, offered a premium of $60 for the improvement of fireplaces or stoves. The advertisement stated that these designs should, quote, "benefit the poorer class of people. To this end, the stove should be cheap and of durable material, should afford the necessary degree of salubrious and durable heat, with the least expensive fuel possible," end quote. Charles Wilson Peale and his son Raphael responded to this call with a set of diminutive fireplace models, fashioned appropriately out of white pine and paper, complete with sliding dampers and miniature ink sketches of overmantel wooded landscapes and ornamental carvings. Both materially and pictorially, the models alluded to the very dwindling resources that fueled such fireplaces. The Peales, under the pseudonym Economy, won the premium in 1799, and Charles Wilson and Raphael went on to receive the first patent for a fireplace in the United States. This issue of fuel economy was of great interest to scientific institutions and natural philosophers throughout the 18th century, both in the United States and abroad. For their fireplace models, Charles Wilson and Raphael appropriated the designs of Benjamin Franklin's 1744 Pennsylvania fireplace and the Rumford stove introduced by Benjamin Thompson, or Count Rumford, in London in 1795. These earlier designs sought to conserve fuel by replacing large, open hearth fireplaces with closed stoves. In developing his smoke eaters in 1798, Peale was not the first Philadelphian to concern himself with the removal of smoke, nor did he even originate the bodily metaphors of ingestion associated with that process. Benjamin Franklin designed a smoke eater of his own in 1771 for his London lodgings. The stove consisted of a classical urn on a pedestal placed within a cast iron niche inside a chimney. The smoke in the urn was drawn through the stove, burned, and the resulting hot air was dispersed under the floor throughout the entire room. Its striking likeness to a funerary urn was noted at the time by a poet named Hannah Griffith, who composed the following epitaph for the stove. Quote, "Let candor then write on this urn. Here lies the renowned inventor, whose fame to the skies ought to burn, but inverted descends to the center," end quote. Even here, we find the metaphorical embodiment of a stove, as Griffith envisions the cremated body of the inventor being consumed by his smoke-eating convention. Peale also ascribed to his predecessor's belief that improved fuel economy would benefit the human condition by freeing bodily movement in the domestic space. According to Franklin, a closed fireplace allowed warm air to circulate throughout the room, permitting families to move away from the hearth and, quote, sit near the window and have the benefit of light for reading, writing, needlework, etc., end quote. In other words, a more efficient stove encouraged not only the wider circulation of heat and bodies, but also personal betterment and education. Peale expressed a similar interest in social reform using metaphors of bodily mobility. In a letter to his son and fireplace collaborator, Raphael, Peale wrote, quote, I scrutinize the actions of men and know from what impulse they move, and where I can do no good, I am silent. But if I could, I have the desire to reform the bulk of my fellow creatures, end quote. Peale promoted the fireplace prototypes installed in his museum through newspaper advertisements, proclaiming that his closed brick stoves, quote, not only yield a regular and constant warmth devoid of any disagreeable or offensive smell, but are also a saving of fuel as well as time, end quote. It is implied that this time is best spent pursuing virtuous work as described by Franklin. Decorative elements such as the festoons of garland, columns, and overmantel landscapes that Peale added to his models enhanced a sense of refinement while legitimizing his modern venture through the familiar authority of a classical past. The fireplace prototypes fit squarely within the educational goals of Peale's Philadelphia Museum. As an institution displaying art, scientific specimens, and intellectual pursuits all under one roof, the museum was organized according to the Linnaean system of taxonomy, which upheld the natural world as an interdependent hierarchy of distinct species and genera, as depicted in Peale's celebrated self-portrait, The Artist in His Museum. This revelation of harmony through natural order demonstrated the perfection of divine wisdom to the museum visitor and illustrated an interest in rational order as a moral model for the New Republic. It is perhaps no coincidence that the Peales used the pseudonym economy when submitting their fireplace models to the American Philosophical Society. This may have been a reference to Linnaeus's 1749 essay, The Economy of Nature, which addressed the natural equilibrium and interrelationships of various species and their cycles of growth and decay. Peale's models took on a special urgency amid recurring concerns about bodily health in late 18th century Philadelphia. At that time, the city was still recovering from the first major urban yellow fever epidemic in the United States, which decimated Philadelphia's population in 1793, as documented in pamphlets like this one that I'm showing you here. Periodic outbreaks continued throughout the 1790s, including in the summer of 1798, when the administration of John Adams was forced to move temporarily to Trenton, New Jersey. The prominent Philadelphia physician Benjamin Rush and his followers ascribed the spread of disease to environmental conditions, specifically miasma or unwholesome air. William Buchan's Domestic Medicine, a popular medical guide published in Philadelphia in 1771, specifically attributed the cause of disease to contaminated city air, which, quote, is not only breathed repeatedly over and over by thousands, but is likewise exhausted by fires loaded with sulfur, smoke, and other exhalations, end quote. Therefore, the elimination of chimney smoke was seen as an important step toward improved health and well-being. In 1776, stoves were removed from the Pennsylvania State House after members of the Continental Congress complained that the smoke was affecting their health and eyesight. Public health was particularly important in the formative years following the American Revolution, when the political well-being of the young nation was closely tied to the physical health of its citizens. In 1789, Rush wrote to John Adams that, quote, passions produce fewer diseases in a republic than in a monarchy. Therefore, the effect of the political passions upon health and life will be still less perceptible in our country, end quote. This connection of public and political health made the yellow fever epidemic particularly problematic. Since Benjamin Rush and his followers attributed the spread of disease to environmental conditions, The prevalence of smoke not only affected the health of the individual body, but the political body of the nation as well. Charles Wilson Peel and Rush were close colleagues, and Peel displayed a bust of the eminent physician in his museum, demonstrating that he admired Rush's medical theories. In the first comprehensive visual representation of Philadelphia, William Russell Birch projected a fastidiously clean, orderly vision of the city's streets, landmarks, and significant buildings. His engraving of the Library Company, only recently built in 1790, provides a glimpse of the classically inspired federal architecture that characterized the city. Birch notably eliminated almost all traces of smoke from the urban atmosphere. Only a single plume of polluted air appears in his view of the city port in the context of shipbuilding, and I'm showing you a detail on the right, but in which the minuscule scale and temporary aspect of that plume, which is disassociated from any building or residence, renders the smoke picturesque and unthreatening. Through their association with intellectual betterment and public health, the Peel fireplace models also leveraged contemporary metaphors of the human body as a mechanical system. During the 18th century, the body was frequently aligned with the machine in medical texts. For example, in a book entitled The Art of Preventing Disease and Restoring Health, published in New York in 1794, George Wallace proclaimed it, quote, unavoidable to give some account of the human machine with regard to the structure, dependencies, and actions of its parts, end quote. Similarly, Charles Wilson Peel used mechanical terms to refer to the body in an 1803 text entitled Epistle to a Friend on the Means of Preserving Health, Promoting Happiness, and Prolonging the Life of Man to its Natural Period. As Peel observed in that epistle, improper modes of living, quote, wear out the machine, end quote, leading to an early demise. To improve the human machine, Peel recommended internal and external cleansing of the human body through regular bathing and periodic purgative enemas, which he claimed presented, quote, the most ready and effectual means to cleanse away filth, end quote. Not unlike a stove or fireplace, the 18th century body was viewed as a system of intake and output that must remain in balance in order to maintain equilibrium. Peel described the internal processes of his fireplaces in bodily terms of respiration and circulation, explaining, quote, the back and cheeks of the fireplace may be made hollow yet strong, and a small hole made near the hearth of this hollowed way, communicating to the external air if convenient, end quote. Peel's description of the smoke eater published in Philadelphia's Weekly Magazine highlighted what he called the machine's consumption of smoke as it ascended and descended back into the fire. These passages correspond with descriptions of respiration and circulation in contemporary medical texts. George Wallace explained that the lungs, like stoves, were responsible for heating the body, as the air that rushed into the lungs at every inhalation distributed particles of heat to the blood. According to Wallace, quote, by their evolution through the course of circulation, these particles form a universal stimulus to the vascular system, and at the same time they perform the office of excretion, throwing out such matter which may have become useless and would be hurtful if continued in the habit. End quote. Such references to biological circulation roughly correspond with images like John Aiken's view of the spine and its supply of blood from his 1786 Principles of Anatomy and Physiology. A few years after the installation of his smoke eaters, Peel would construct models of the human throat and windpipe in papier-mâché and wax for use by the physician Caspar Wistar, showing his knowledge of the human chimney as well as the mechanical one. Charles Wilson's ideal fireplace and its benefits are also represented in his celebrated group portrait, the Peel family. In 1773, proud of being able to provide for his large family, Peel decided to paint, quote, the portraits of the whole in one piece, emblematical of family concord, end quote. In this composition, the Peel family gathers closely around a table, engaging in the various activities of child-minding, sketching, and painting. On the easel pictured at left, three maidens signify concordia anime, or agreement of the spirits, highlighting the family's intimate bond. Along the right side of the composition appears a mantle, indicating the presence of an unseen fireplace. On this mantle, in keeping with the aesthetic theme presented by his fireplace models and museum prototypes, Peale has depicted four classically inspired portrait busts. One is a self-portrait, and the other visible two are influential figures in his career, Benjamin West, his teacher, and Edmund Jennings, one of his first patrons. By placing these busts upon the mantle, Peale saturated the fireplace with metaphors of cheeks and breastwork in a manner consistent with his more technical designs. This image of a happy and healthy family participating in intellectual and aesthetic pursuits near the comfort of a warm and presumably efficient fireplace, exemplifying classical ideals with its line of portrait busts, perfectly summarizes the goals of Peale's fireplace designs. Peale finished this portrait in 1809, only a few years after his heating experiments. As Lillian Miller has observed, quote, "The group portrait encapsulated Peale's biography, his origins, his artistic and social beliefs, and the influences that shaped his art and life and contributed to his achievement," end quote. This paper demonstrates how closely linked the body, the urban environment, and public health were during the late 18th and early 19th century in Philadelphia. Although Peale's fireplace designs have been understood as examples of 18th century fuel philanthropy, their high cost, partially resulting from Peale's own assessment of patent fees, kept them out of the reach of all but wealthy patrons or large institutions. Therefore, we can understand the fireplace models and designs as a mostly intellectual experiment for Peale, as he investigated bodily and moral health circa 1800. Although studied and praised by members of the American Philosophical Society and wondered over by museum visitors, ultimately Peale's fireplace designs did not benefit the poorer class of people as intended. Instead, like the Philadelphia Museum, the fireplace designs served as models for healthy, virtuous living, providing instruction rather than directly alleviating a particular problem. By evoking the human body in the designs and descriptions of his fireplaces and stoves, Charles Wilson Peale associated public health with corporeal integrity in a time of political, economic, and environmental change in early national Philadelphia. Thank you.